feet coming down. And now we'll slow it up for Barry Brown, who elects to shoot a three.
Wow.
Feeling it tonight, Barry Brown.
Man, that's excellent. That sound on the net, man. Swish. Heard it right there on the radio. Oklahoma loses to Kansas State. In Norman, the Wildcats with Dean Wade back have won back-to-back games on the road at Iowa State. And now in Norman. Welcome to the show, Dusty Dvorak. What's up, Dusty?
What up, Marcus? Great to be with you today. Sorry I had to join you a little bit late, but I was listening to you in the Huntman. You guys sounded great, as always. Let me tell you where I'm at first. We can get into what happened last night, and obviously tons of things to get to today. But I'm at the Byford Gold Key Service Center today, Marcus, right here on the southwest corner of MacArthur and Memorial, here off the Kilpatrick Turnpike. We're next door to Hideaway Pizza. You can just look for the 100-foot-tall American flag. And you hear it day in, day out. You see it on billboards and TV, and it's usually my voice. Nobody treats you better than Byford, not just a saying, it's a reality. Come experience that today at the Byford Gold Key Service Center. They got a great promotion. You can celebrate 2019 with a $20.19 oil change, $20.19 oil change, and filter as well. Also, every tire purchase comes with free road hazard warranty and free mount and balance, plus 25-point vehicle inspection. Must schedule an appointment. Oil change does not include diesel engines. And again, this offer promotion expires January 31st. So come take advantage right here. Buy for Gold Key Service Center here off the Kilpatrick Turnpike in Oklahoma City, Mark.
All right, on the show today, we got Greg McElroy at 12:45 to talk about the Jalen Hurts transfer. We have Jake Trotter today on a Thursday to just talk college and football, college football in general. There was something that came up in the last segment of the last hour that we wanted to talk about with Oklahoma, and you're just the guy to go to. Not a lot of experience on the offensive line at Oklahoma, and so there's a bunch of underclassmen on there, Dusty, but not a lot of them have seen some playing time. So give me a breakdown and a scouting report of what OU has to look forward to up front next season.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, they've got the best offensive line coach, I mean, I would say developer in the country. So that's an area that I don't typically get myself concerned with. But when you lose four guys to the National Football League, you got to think you're going to take a little bit of a step back. I mean, clearly you start and you build around Creed Humphrey. I mean, he's that talented of a guy. You keep him in the middle because now you can place younger, inexperienced guys around him, and they're not going to have any problem. You know, that's going to help acclimate them to play in big-time college football. The reality is, I mean, though they worked some guys in last year, they just don't have guys that have had a lot of reps. So here is, I think, we're heading into spring, the guys that you should pay attention to that'll be in the mix to be starting on Oklahoma's offensive line. At tackle, got to look at Adrian Ealy, Mark, 6'6", 328, just a freshman. He's out of Louisiana. I know that they're high on him. Marquise Hayes, another guy that they've been high on. He's 6'5", 351. He's out of Missouri, another freshman. Big guys. I mean, that's what Bill likes. He likes big, physical maulers. So you can take it all the way back to Texas Tech. That's the type of body type that he's looking for. Tyrese Robinson, another guy, more on the inside market, guard, 6'3", 332, another freshman out of McKinney. I know a guy that they trust is Eric Swenson. He'll be a junior next year, more experienced. I don't know if his upside is as high as some of these younger guys. And another guy that I think is a step behind those I mentioned, but he'll at least have a chance to compete, is Bray Walker. Obviously, Mark, you know him extremely well right there locally from Southmore. So I think that when you look at it, those are some guys that are going to have the opportunity to be able to step in and solidify that offensive line.
Bray Walker needs a little bit of a mean streak to him. You know what I'm saying? That's he is huge. And so he can really kind of come into his own.
6'6", 338.
Yeah, he's big. I mean, but 6'6", 338 doesn't look – he looks like a – he's just a big guy. I mean, there's no fat there. I mean, he's well put together.
They've got – I mean, it's like, you know, they've recruited well at that spot. They've got talented players, and they've got a great position coach that develops players. But, you know, until those guys get in those spots and they play football, you know, we'll have to wait and see, you know, exactly how good that unit's going to be. That's not one of the areas of concern I have, Mark, given the way they've recruited and the coach that they have sitting in that spot. But Adrian Ealy, Marquise Hayes, Tyrese Robinson, I'd name those three first. Eric Swenson's a guy that can play tackle for you, and then Bray Walker, somebody's going to step in and try to compete as well. But, hey, so obviously yesterday, you weren't as, I think you used the word with the Humper, outraged. I was outraged yesterday, Mark, and I knew Oklahoma. I hoped, and I said it before, I hoped that they make the change. But to me, there should be outrage. Like, and I haven't been just outraged over that. You know me, Mark. We've done this 4 years now. That's an area that I take, I take serious action with. I don't like when, transfers are done wrong, and especially in the case of grad transfers. And when you really look at the case around Austin Kendall, I just thought with all the good that's going on in Oklahoma and the good karma they have and the way eligibility's worked out with Baker and just transfers have worked out with them, you can go back to my time at Oklahoma with eligibility working out for Oklahoma. It's just they've had their run of good luck, and it just seemed like for a kid that's kind of done everything right to kind of bully him or, threaten him the way that it felt that they did, it just didn't feel right. So obviously Oklahoma had plenty of time to see. And we talked about it yesterday, and we didn't know it because this all happened in real time. Like, we found out Jake Trotter's story broke while we were on the air at the end of the 11 o'clock hour. So all this is happening as we're on air, and I think that the national outcry was very strong, and I think it was heard, and I think Oklahoma quickly realized that this was a hill that they did not want to die on. And the more that I think they looked at it and people started to analyze it, it really didn't make a lot of sense that they were going to try to limit where Austin Kendall wanted to transfer, especially when it seemed like West Virginia was his best destination. So, again, and I don't think there's anything wrong with people being outraged initially, because I think that outrage led to ultimately the right thing to be done. And I'm glad Oklahoma made that choice yesterday. I think it's the right thing to do. And in a day and a time right now where a lot of things should be celebrated, the positive momentum the program has, it just felt like that kind of overshadowed that a little bit yesterday. So I was glad that George Schroeder, I think, had it first reported yesterday afternoon that that was not going to happen. Then I read some quotes from Joe Castiglione. I thought it was interesting that the athletic director even stepped up and made comments about Austin Kendall and wished him well and basically said that he's done everything right and he can go wherever he wants to. So what started out as a messy situation ultimately ended the way that it should have, Mark. So
yeah,
I was happy to see that.
It doesn't surprise me that Joe Castiglione made a comment, because I don't think he wanted to be involved with that behind-the-scenes stuff, because I don't think that it got to the Joe C's office to say that we're not going to – this was bullying is what it was, and it's not a good look. It is trying to manipulate a kid into making a decision where, okay, well, we really don't want to go up against him because we believe he's a pretty good player. That's going to help us win, and I clearly don't think that went to Joe C's under Joe C's it never got under his bailiwick. You know what I'm saying? So I think, he wants to distance himself from that, and hopefully the football program learned from that. I don't know who individually told him he couldn't transfer to certain schools or who was going to put it may not have come directly from the head coach, so I'm not going to use Lincoln Riley's name in that, but whoever said that to them, that should stop. That should not go on anymore. I mean, the transfer rules are what they are. You can transfer, and so when you graduate, you should be allowed to go where you want to go. Hopefully they won't happen again with them this way, because
totally
it is a bad
agree.
Luck for them.
Totally agree, and that's and we talked about this. I mentioned the situation in the SEC, the Alabama offensive lineman. The SEC fixed that, and again, like, I wasn't trying to beat up on Oklahoma or Lincoln Riley yesterday. They are doing what's within the rules. I'm more upset with the rules, and that's what I ultimately hope. I say take the power out of Oklahoma or any other university's hands to where they don't even have to go down that road. If you graduate, and again, like, my biggest thing is this, Mark. What's the worst that can happen in this scenario? That more kids graduate early? Oh,
yeah.
Because that's a problem, right? That's a bad thing. Like, at the end of the day, it's like we have completely, and I'm not a moron, like, it's about sports. It's about wins. People want to watch football. It moves the needle. That's what this thing is. But on some level, it's still supposed to be about the student athlete. And at the end of the day, it's about to be, football, this whole system, at least to my knowledge, Mark, is set up so that if, you can, through sports, you can get school paid for and you can get your education. And I think at the crux of it, what we really want to do is help educate young people and help get them to their degree, right? I think I think on some base level, that's what this is supposed to all be about. So when you do that, when you graduate, that should allow you some opportunities that maybe you didn't have if you did, because you've achieved what you were supposed to do in college. And I just think that if anyone wants to try to say, well, if you start letting grad transfers go wherever they want once they graduate, that could be a problem. Again, I would love to deal with a problem in a scenario where there's more kids graduating college quicker, Mark. I don't see anything that's bad about that whatsoever.
No. No, there's not. There's not. There's not at all. What else? Did you watch any NBA last night?
A little bit. I watched all the Oklahoma game, man. I watched it with I tried to get my boys to watch it with me. I was a little fired up. I wanted to try to go to the game. We weren't able to make it, so we watched it at the house, and I kind of thought, you know, I didn't know. I talked about it yesterday. I hadn't seen Kansas State play much. I remember before the year, you told me you thought they had a chance to maybe rival Kansas in the league, and, you know, they had a high ranking, and then, you know, they kind of fallen off, but then they had beaten Iowa State, and they got Dean Wade back. So I was very intrigued to see what Kansas State was all about. Mark, they beat up on Oklahoma last night, Norman. That was not – and I'm going to tell you what now, Kansas State, now that they've got Dean Wade back and Barry Brown can kind of go back to his role, that's a team that's going to be tough to deal with in Big 12 play. They play outstanding defense, Mark, as you know, and now they've got two legitimate offensive weapons with Wade back in the lineup. That was – now, the Sooners did not play well, Mark, but, man, that was a mismatch last night in Norman. And Kansas State just – they took it to them.
I think OU's not playing well because I think that they've got inherent problems. I mean, one is that they don't have an inside presence. They don't shoot it well. They don't create a whole lot. Kalixte can create a little bit, but he's not getting guys really wide open looks, and they struggle on offense. They don't offensive rebound it very well. So the fact that they were sitting here last night as the ranked team in that game is a testament to how well they played in the non-conference portion of the season. But I'm a little worried about them getting it going in this league, especially with K-State playing better. Iowa State is very good. Kansas is very good. Texas Tech is very good. The Big 12 has more good teams in it, more quality, like top 10, top 15 teams in it than any other league in the country.
The more I've watched, you know, we've been talking, to me, the top four teams are Kansas, Texas Tech, Iowa State, Kansas State, Mark. Like, to me, I think that they're
Kansas State pretty easily. I mean, Texas can be considered in that mix, too.
They play Kansas pretty tough. Now, I don't know this, but was Dean Wade playing when Texas went to Kansas State? I think he was out.
No, he was not.
Right.
He was not.
I just think they're a little bit – that's still an impressive win, but they're a different team when they're healthy and they're whole. But that was impressive last night by Bruce Weber and his crew. That was and then I didn't get a chance to see a whole lot of it, Mark, but I was – surprised to see Iowa State go into Lubbock and take down Texas Tech. That I did not see that coming.
I mean, before the midway point of the season, every team may have lost at home. I think every team has lost at home but one right now, right? Maybe TCU hasn't lost at home. No. Did they play? No. I think TCU may be undefeated in the conference at home. And I think somebody will get Kansas on their home floor this year. I think that's how
balanced
the league
is. I was going to say, Kansas hasn't lost on their home floor in league play.
They have not. That's the only team.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think TCU's schedule has been soft at home.
Did you see the news coming out of TCU this morning about Jalen Fisher?
Yeah, no more Jalen Fisher. Yeah.
That hurts them mightily, Mark. I mean, he's been a nice player for Jamie Dixon. By the way, you were talking about the great coaches in the Big 12 earlier with Craig, and I thought it was a great point. Jamie Dixon's another one of those great coaches. I don't know if you mentioned him, but TCU since he's come in the league has been tremendous.
Yeah, but TCU's Losing only Fisher. Home loss this year was to Lipscomb, so they don't have a home loss in conference. Baylor does, Oklahoma does, Texas does, Oklahoma State does, West Virginia does, Kansas State does, Iowa State does. So it's Kansas and TCU. TCU's home loss is coming pretty quickly. You want to say hi to the missile?
Hey, Missile. I saw Missile today. What's up, Missile?
Yeah, I saw Dusty today. We're telling Dusty's telling a couple of college stories.
I was telling some old war stories to the Missile and Michael Doty.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Yeah. I did not watch a ton of hoops last night. Missile, sorry about your Rockets. Boy, James Harden, 58 points in a losing effort. That's a tough pill to swallow, but they lose last night 145-142. A couple games that stood out to me, Mark. One, Celtics over the Raptors. I thought that was interesting, and Kyrie Irving played great. Kyrie Irving's comments about LeBron James, I thought that was
interesting, wasn't it?
I definitely thought so. Do we have that, Missile? Yeah. No. On Kyrie Irving, I couldn't remember if we had. Okay, yeah. So here's Kyrie Irving, and obviously we know what happened at Cleveland. He left. A bit of a divorce there between him and LeBron. Kyrie Irving, here he is speaking about that relationship with LeBron James.
I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything to be at, you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that, and, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people.
Hey, this is me clapping, because that might be the most coherent thought that I've heard come out of Kyrie Irving's mouth maybe ever, Mark, because he's exactly right, and he's now sitting back acknowledging and realizing he was probably acting like a child, and he was probably, you know, not enjoying and embracing the situation he was in, and how nice it was to be playing with the best player in the world and be able to play off of him. Now that he's the man somewhere, I think it's all kind of come full circle, and he's come to the realization this isn't quite as easy as what I'd maybe anticipated. And it takes a big man to step up and apologize and come to that realization. So I applaud Kyrie Irving and his comments.
Now, I'm not sure that this is the last aha moment for him. I mean, but I found
some
of it comical. I found a lot of it very mature.
The earth is round. When's he going to come to that realization?
Right. Yep. Surely that's just kind of for fun, I would think. I don't know.
The other thing from the NBA last night, Mark, the Warriors, they're still pretty good. Nice win for them over the Pelicans last night in a very high-scoring game. Steph Curry, man, he's got his foot on the accelerator in the MVP race a little bit.
Curry! A very competitive race this year.
Double team, bang! What a shot from Curry! Davis right in his face, and it's a two-point game!
That team is best when he is getting up shots.
What do you think he's shooting from three this year, Mark?
I'm going to say 50.8%.
No, 46% from three this year. His last three games.
That's still pretty good.
He hit nine last night. He had eight against Denver on Tuesday, and he had 11 against my Mavs on Sunday. I would say Steph Curry is on a bit of a heater right now, Marcus.
He is hot. All right, normally at this time we have Todd Furman on. He is moving to tomorrow due to other obligations. So we will talk about the NFC, AFC championship games with Todd Furman tomorrow at some point in time. Haven't firmed that up yet. I'm at Galleria Furniture and Mattress Outlet. Come by and buy a king-size mattress for the price of a queen to get an adjustable base valued at $1,000. They got over 140 mattress styles to choose from here, which just it's a ton. You have to see this to believe it. Galleria Furniture and Mattress Outlet, I-40 in Portland. Stay tuned to the Monsters of the Midday on the Sports Channel. Dusty, you were leaning towards both the home teams with the reservation that the Patriots might change their mind later in the week.
Well, I was reading an article last night. It's interesting you say that. I was reading an article last night, and, you know, we heard – would you play that on Monday Missile from Brady whenever he had made mention that basically, you know, we're just lucky to be here. We got no shot of winning. You know, that type of thing. Well – it sounds like that must be what Bill Belichick is selling the team, because they are embracing bet against us. Like, that's their big thing. Like, that they're an underdog. I guess ESPN had some statistical analysis that only gave them like a 33% chance of winning this game. So they're like all in on this, Mark. This is the first time the Patriots have been an underdog in a playoff game since January of 14. That year, Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos took down Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. It's also the first time that they've been an underdog in any game since all the way back in 2015, which was week two against the Bills. I don't quite know how the Bills were ever favored above the New England Patriots, but basically I say this to say they're not oftentimes an underdog. They are this week, and they're embracing it. Mark, they've made T-shirts. Julian Edelman posted a hype video tagging it with Bet Against Us, so they are 100% embracing the underdog role, which I got to tell you, I think is pretty smart, because they don't oftentimes find themselves in this place, and it paid dividends last week. We'll see if it pays dividends on the week this week. But there's a different mentality, I would say, and something that Bill Belichick is trying to use as motivation for his football team this week.
It's an odd mentality for me. I mean, the Patriots have won
eight straight conference championships.
It's a
it's a veteran team. I mean, I could kind of see a young team that's got some bravado, that thinks they're really good, trying to prove to everybody that they are. But the Patriots trying to prove to everybody that they're really good, it's kind of a strange, almost false narrative. Like, I do think they would have the advantage experience-wise in this game, but usually the team that has the advantage experience-wise acts like they've been there before. So that tactic, to me, doesn't necessarily play well for the Patriots. It's just odd. I mean, it's just kind of weird that would be the team that decides to embrace that.
I would just say you probably, after being in your 10th conference championship, 8 straight, I believe it is, you've already been to 7 Super Bowls, you probably have to find different ways to motivate, right?
Right,
and
right.
This doesn't oftentimes come around, so, again, I just say it seems, going all the way back to Monday, Bill Belichick, he found something, he's been using it, and whether we agree it's a good tactic or not, it sure sounds like, it feels like, inside that locker room, they bought in, and really that's all that matters. If they found something, and we talk about it all the time, right, this won't surface itself on Sunday. It's all about the week of preparation, and I guess part of me just kind of feels like the New England Patriots, I expect them to prepare at the highest level regardless. So, you know, kind of to your point, is this really going to have an effect? I don't know, but I found it interesting. Again, and it's a spot that Bill Belichick, it's a position that Bill Belichick can't typically come from, because they're always the favorite. So, I don't know. We'll see if it has any effect on Sunday in cold Kansas City.
The biggest aspect of motivation to me is being prepared. And I have no question the Patriots are going to be prepared. I mean, motivation isn't going to be Bill Belichick giving some kind of speech and they run out of the locker room with breathing snot bubbles. It's going to be how well they prepare. And I think the Patriots, they'll be prepared. I'm no doubt about it. I mean, they'll be ready to go. I expect them to have a similar game plan to what they had against the Chargers. I think they're going to attack the Chiefs linebackers. Right? That's a weakness of the Chiefs defense. They probably will also challenge the corners in Kansas City, which is another weakness of the Chiefs defense. So I expect a lot of points in that game.
Three players you have to identify and you've got to limit if you're Kansas City defensively. Sony Michel, number one. I mean, he... 24 carries, 129, 3 touchdowns. I mean, they ran it at will on the Chargers. That can't happen. And Kansas City's run defense was fantastic. Those guys got to really step up. D Ford, Justin Houston, Jones in the middle. Those guys got to step up and play well. So, Sony Michel, you got to limit him. Mark, I think Julian Edelman he's a stud for them. And, like, what I'm so – his toughness and just the way he goes over the middle and catches the football with his hands. I mean, and we saw that in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. He made that unbelievable catch. But I think you've got to find a way, whoever your best corner, whoever your best cover guy is, you've got to find a way to try to limit Julian Edelman. Gronk is not the weapon that he once was, and Tom Brady knows that, and he doesn't go at him. James White's the other guy. And, I mean, he might as well be a slot receiver, but he's a slot receiver coming out of the backfield half the time when he's not lined up outside and empty. I mean, we've talked about it, 15 catches for him. It's basically an extension of the run game, just getting him easy passes out of the backfield and getting him matched up on linebackers like you just talked about. I mean, to me, those are Gronkowski forever was the guy that you had to kind of take him away and then other guys make them beat you. I think it's different now with New England, Mark. Rob Gronkowski does not scare me the way that some of these other guys on New England's offense does currently.
No, he doesn't. Here's what would scare me if I'm Kansas City. Andy Reid is widely known as one of the, you know, very best offensive minds in football in the last 30 years. I mean, I think he's been phenomenal. But in the playoffs, sometimes he tends to get a little conservative, and I don't think conservative is the approach to go in this game. They're going to have to score. And I don't think you could go into this game going, all right, let's put 10 points on the board and start to run the football and try to let the air out. That worked for him a little bit last week. They came out aggressive offensively, scored again, and then they kind of let the air out, and their defense saved them. The defense this week I don't think is going to save them as easily against the Patriots. So while if you get a lead, I think that Andy Reid's got to keep the pressure turned up on offense. He can't try to win this game because we know this. You know this, Dusty. I mean, if it's a fourth quarter and the Patriots are down 10, 7, 3, whatever, if they need
Tommy
a drive
boy.
To go score, they're going to score. They're going to do it.
I mean, they did it to him the first time they played. Remember when it was 40-40 and Brady goes down and they get the field goal and they win 43-40. So, yeah, you're exactly right.
There's no stopping that. So, Andy Reid,
don't be Andy Reid of the past. Andy Reid's got to be aggressive in this game.
I'm with you. I think that's a great point. I think it's a really good point. And you are. If you're going to take down the New England Patriots, you've got to go in knowing that we're going to have to be aggressive. There's going to – Missile would love this, and I've softened a little. I don't think you always go for it on fourth down, but there are different spots within a game that, yeah, you got to do it. And there's probably going to be a time or two. And I think Andy Reid's kind of done that some this year, Mark, with Patrick Mahomes. And he's kind of, you know, rolled the dice and let him you know, let him take over this offense and take more chances maybe than definitely what we saw with Alex Smith at the helm. So we've already seen that to a degree, but you're absolutely right. There's going to be a play or two or a situation in that game against New England where Andy Reid is going to have to be aggressive, not conservative, and ultimately, you know, that's why that's a big reason why Sean Payton and New Orleans Saints, as good as I think they are, why they were able to win a week ago. And it may be a similar type decision from Andy Reid in this one against the Pats. So, no, that's a really good point.
I don't think I really mentioned this when I was talking about picking the Saints to win the Super Bowl. The Saints offense is the most versatile offense in the playoffs, in the NFL right now. Several games this year, they've been able to go on 6, 7, 8 minute drives. Yep. They can control, they can run it, they can throw it, and they're one of these teams that don't suffer when they have to run it. I mean, they're good at running the football. Alvin Kamara, incredible runner. Mark Ingram, not bad for a guy to hand it off to as his second back, and then Taysom Hill in a short yardage situation.
How about the dime he threw on the penalty, that touchdown pass that got called back? I see why they like him so much, Mark.
They can score. They can score quickly if they need to. They had that drive that they had to have against the Steelers to go score a touchdown. They don't fail in the red zone, and they can run it, and they can let the air out of the game. So that's why I think the Saints are the best team, and they're going to be the toughest team to beat. While Kansas City's running game, I think, will let them down a little bit. New England's running game is more of a short passing game. It's still pretty good. The Rams have a great running game, but their quarterback's not Drew Brees. So that's why I think the Saints, the team that they've got the most at their disposal to try to win a game if they need to do it on the offensive side of the football.
They can. What I love is what you said. They have the ability to hit you with big plays down the field with Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, obviously Drew Brees' arm. But they can also go 18 plays, 92 yards, 11 minutes and 29 seconds like they did to start the second half against Philadelphia a week ago. So they can speed it up and go and be explosive, but they can slow it down and be methodical. And one of the best red zone offenses in the National Football League, when they get inside the 20s, they typically finish it off with a touchdown. And for me, even to further the New Orleans Saints, it's also just the defense. I just think that side of the football, you know, is so much improved from where it's been in previous seasons that even as the Saints have faltered a little bit down the stretch offensively, they've proven and shown that they can win games with defense. And I think that's a huge factor in the postseason. And, you know, the fact that they've got home field advantage, I'm not saying the Rams have no chance but whatsoever, but that is that's going to be a tough putt to make if you're the LA Rams going into the Big Easy this weekend.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about the Gold Key Service Center, Dusty?
I can tell you a lot about the Gold Key Service Center right here at the southwest corner of MacArthur and Memorial. It's a buy for Gold Key Service Center, 5930 West Memorial Road here off the Kilpatrick Turnpike. And just look for the 100-foot-tall American flag. We're hanging out right here. They do a fantastic job here. They service any make and model of car or vehicle. And right now, great promotion. Celebrate 2019 with a $20.19 oil change. That's $20.19 for an oil change and a filter. Also, every tire purchase comes with free road hazard warranty and free mount and balance. Plus, you're going to get a free 25-point vehicle inspection. You got to schedule this appointment by January the 31st. And this oil changes include or does not include diesel engines. Again, give them a call right here, 405-603-4545. Buy for Gold Key Service Center. Get your car serviced today. Marcus, what's going on at Galleria Furniture?
Well, it's a huge, huge, huge showroom floor here with a major mattress sale right now. They have over 140 mattress styles to choose from. And in January, you can get a king-size mattress for the price of a queen and a free adjustable base that's valued at $1,000. So, amazing deals on mattress. Closeout mattress offers with top brands. Save thousands and thousands of dollars here at Galleria Furniture and Mattress Outlet. I-40 in Portland, Greg McElroy on Jalen Hurts next.
And nothing but the best ESPN college football analyst. Also has a great show, The First Team on Sirius XM in the mornings, Channel 84, Mr. Greg McElroy. What's up, G-Mac?
Dusty, what's up, brother? How we doing, man?
We are doing well. We are doing very well here. Okay, so tell me about what can Sooner fans expect to see with Jalen Hurts under center coming up this spring and next fall?
Well, I think y'all's guess is probably as good as mine, because right now what we've seen from Oklahoma in the last, gosh, however many years, I mean, dating all the way back to the beginning of the Baker Mayfield era, we've seen Oklahoma be a team that really prides himself on throwing the football. Now, they've had very capable running backs. They've had outstanding offensive linemen. They've had all those things. But I don't know if they've had a quarterback since Trevor Knight that's going to try to win with his legs. You know, so I think it's anybody's guess as to how this offense is going to change and whether or not Lincoln Riley is going to adapt this offense to best fit Jalen Hurts' skill set. So, I mean, everyone seems to think that Jalen's a significantly improved player. I hope that's the case. I think Oklahoma fans obviously hope that's the case. I think we all are rooting for Jalen. People or fans of college football are rooting for Jalen just for the way he handled everything in Tuscaloosa. But I think it's anybody's guess as to whether or not those improvements as a passer really show themselves in the regular season and throughout, you know, a 12-game regular season. It's one thing to do it for a half, it's another thing to do it for 12, 13 games, which he's going to have to do at Oklahoma. So I'm really interested to see a few different things, how much he's improved and how much Lincoln Riley adjusts and tweaks the offense to make sure that he's comfortable.
Greg, I was surprised that Oklahoma was interested, and that doesn't take away from Jalen Hurts, but it was more of what you're describing. Is that this the right fit for a Lincoln Riley offense? I'm not surprised that Jalen Hurts might want to go to Oklahoma because Lincoln's done so well with his last two quarterbacks. But were you a little bit surprised that Oklahoma had interest in him as a grad transfer?
You know, I wasn't actually. Just knowing how maligned they've been on the defensive side, like, this is going to take the pressure off the defense a little bit. Not because Jalen's right. going to go out there and score 60, but because they might actually be able to win by using ball control every once in a while. And just knowing that Rodney Anderson's not back, and if you look at their running backs, I think Kennedy Brooks is a good player. I think Sermon's solid, but somewhat unspectacular compared to the backs that they've had in years past. So I would actually assume, and I know Dusty probably feels the same way, that this offense is probably going to look a lot more like the five wide with quarterback run game. Because Jalen's size, unlike that of Kyler Murray, he's not as twitchy as Kyler Murray. He's not as quick or as fast, but he's bigger. He's sturdier. So the between the tackles run game is going to very much be there from a quarterback standpoint. So I actually would envision this offense looking a little bit slower paced, win in the trenches just a little bit more than they have in years past, and to try to emphasize ground and pound more so than they did with the prior two quarterbacks. So I envision a complete philosophical shift, taking the pressure off the defensive side and really putting an onus on the quarterback run game, especially between the tackles, knowing how big and sturdy and strong Jalen is.
Talking with ESPN college football analyst Greg McElroy. From just a quarterback perspective, give me, I mean, I can't imagine anybody in this industry knows this kid as well as you do. You've probably seen every snap he's taken. What does he do well as a thrower, and what does he struggle with as a thrower, Greg?
So Jalen's number one attribute is not physical. It's mental. Jalen is remarkably, remarkably strong mentally. Like, he could throw an interception and just, hey, don't worry, like, duck feathers, man. Just right, rinse right off him, no problem. It was like that from the time he was in high school all the way through now. So that's his strongest attribute, is his ability to be mentally tough and to handle adversity. So that's what I would say, first and foremost, Oklahoma fans will absolutely love about this guy. As a thrower, there's a few things that I think he does really well. One, he throws the ball very well on the move. And in particular, he throws the ball really well moving from left to right. So if you're a quarterback, he's rolling to his right. When he's throwing it in that direction, he does extremely well. The problem is that's the only way he rolls. So when he rolls left, he's not often really going to maintain that same integrity as a passer. rolling right, very accurate. I would argue that his NFL accuracy on throws outside the pocket, moving to his right, to the left, there's a lot of things that he needs to move on. As far as other things that he does very well, he gets the ball out very quick. He's got a strong arm. So I would anticipate with this offense being a lot of quick screens, a lot of tunnel screens. They've used that a million times. A lot of short underneath throws because Jalen does have a quick release and the ball jumps. His accuracy is not that of what they've seen the last couple years with Baker and Kyler, but it doesn't mean that it won't be improved with more and more reps. So I would say that the areas he needs to improve are rolling to his left as a passer. I would say intermediate accuracy on throws between 10 and 25 yards. And I would also say just maintaining that passing posture in the pocket, not trying to vacate the pocket too quickly. Those are the three things I really want to see him work on in the next 8 months before he's under center in September.
Greg, what are your thoughts on Steve Sarkisian coming back to Tuscaloosa?
I'm interested to see if it's going to be more along the lines of the Mike Locksley style of approach like they've run the last couple years with heavy, heavy RPO, RPOs involving running backs, maybe a little bit less quarterback run. I'm really curious if it looks more like Mike Locksley or Lane Kiffin. Like, we've seen two different variations of the Alabama offense in recent years. We also saw Brian Daboll in there for kind of that 2017 season, but that's kind of a blip on the radar because they went so much quarterback run with Jalen in 2017. He just didn't see the field real well that year, and he didn't progress as a passer. So I'd say that year's kind of an anomaly. So are they going to look more like Lane Kiffin style of Alabama offense, or are they going to look more like they did this past year with more RPOs and more of an emphasis on the passing game? So that's probably what I'm most intrigued by is what is Sark going to bring back after having spent the last couple of years with the Falcons?
Hey, you know, I've had this question asked to me. I did College Football Live last week, and we had talked about it. There's been a lot of with Nick Saban's staff, coaches kind of come there, and it's almost like you're off to the next best job. They've lost a lot of coaches, a lot of turnover this year and the last couple of years. Does that concern you at all moving forward, Greg, or the fact that it's still Nick Saban who's running the show alleviate those concerns?
Well, it could have been worse because there was a lot of rumblings around Alabama that Pete Golding, who was kind of the D.C. without having the D.C. title, they thought he was going to Oklahoma. So I guess it could have been worse. Instead, Alex Grinch, of course, named the defensive coordinator for Oklahoma, and what a tremendous hire that's going to be. I'm so excited to see how many dividends that pays. And he does a really nice job and has experience having called plays for that air raid style of attack, having worked for Mike Leach in years past. So I'm really, really interested in one of the hires of the offseason. I digress as I get off track there. I apologize. But I look at this, and I think that this year it might be addition by subtraction. In talking to people very close to the program, there were a lot of guys that were brought in on this previous regime that were very interested in padding their own resume. And what I mean by that is using Alabama a little bit as a stepping stone. Whereas guys in years past where there's been turnover, guys have taken better jobs. But I think guys put their head down, they bit their lip, they went and took the job at Alabama knowing that they would only have to endure the pain of having working there for 1 year, and then they'd get a better job on the other side. So I think that Saban recognized that. He wanted to make sure he went out and hired guys this offseason that are going to be at Alabama for the right reasons and that are truly committed to doing things his way. Because if you're not really all the way in on what Alabama is going to be, then you might do some different things and you might not always use one voice, the one voice rule that they always have at Alabama. It might not have been that way this year because the guys just weren't really all that well versed, and I just don't know if they were as invested as Nick Saban would have liked. So not to say that they were wrong. Those guys are looking out for their best interest. I don't blame them whatsoever. But I think in going young, they opened up the door to have some guys in there that that really didn't care as much about the program, that cared more about their own individual accomplishments that were going to come after having spent 1 year in the program. So that's kind of what I've gathered. But they lost some really good coaches, man. I mean, it's hard to replace that many pieces on an annual basis. I don't care who you are. And even though Nick Saban is undeterred and is a terrific head coach, I mean, when you have that kind of turnover, it's a challenge on an annual basis to recruit.
How did Pete Golding's name get out there so much for Oklahoma, Greg? Because it didn't seem to me like he was ever the top guy. I mean, would...
No. I don't know if he was going to be the DC there. Like, I don't know if that was going to be the case. I know that there were rumblings. There were a bunch of people that I think were contacted, and I actually think that Lincoln Riley maybe found the best guy for the job. I mean, I really believe that. Just knowing that he has a guy in Grinch that has coached defense with that style of offense on the other side. Now, as far as Golding's name is concerned, I've heard his name as far as like a star in the making. Like, everyone seems to think this guy's the next big thing in coaching. Now, he's at UTSA and did a pretty good job identifying some key prospects and had Marcus Davenport, who went high in the draft, and just did a nice job there and kind of got his name on the radar. But now that he has that Saban brushstroke on his name, I wouldn't be shocked if he's poised, not just for a boost at Alabama, I wouldn't be shocked if they upgrade him to the D.C. full-time next year. I also wouldn't be that surprised if he were to get a big-time job somewhere down the road. I've been around a really impressive guy and a guy that I can see being, you know, very attractive to a lot of coaches throughout, not just the Southeast, but throughout the Big 12 country and even out West as well.
All right, last one, Greg. It sounds like you're at least very intrigued by Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley. I'm with you on Alex Grinch. I've been wanting him for over a year now, so I think Lincoln Riley hired the perfect guy. Is Oklahoma, now that those pieces are in place, are they your favorite to win the Big 12 next season?
Yes. Yeah. It's Oklahoma until I see otherwise. The second-best team, I think, is going to be Texas, but and they're poised to make a jump. And Iowa State, I would have at 3, just given all the pieces they have back. And Purdy's going to make a big leap into year 2. But until I see it, it's a see-it-to-believe-it business, man. And Oklahoma's the team in the Big 12 and has been for quite some time. So they're still the favorite in my eyes.
He's Greg McElroy, ESPN, college football analyst, excellent radio show on SiriusXM Channel 84. It's the first team Monday through Friday in the mornings. G-Reg, thanks so much for the time, man. Much appreciated.
You the man, Dust. See you, buddy.
All right, there you go. A little bit on Jalen Hurts and Greg McElroy's outlook on Oklahoma next season. I'm at the Buy for Gold Key Service Center here at 5930 West Memorial Road. Great promotion I'll tell you about next hour. First, let me get to Mark at Galleria Furniture. Marcus.
Well, they have a huge mattress sale going on right now, Dusty. Over 140 different mattresses in stock. And if you get a king-size mattress, you're going to get it for the price of a queen and also a free adjustable base valued at $1,000. So stop in I-40 in Portland and check out the massive showroom floor here at Galleria Furniture and Mattress Outlet.
And they lost the game, 145-142 at home against Brooklyn in overtime. Third 50-point game of the season for James Harden. Coming off a 57-point game against Memphis, he goes for 58 last night, averaging almost 48 points a game in his last five. He is on fire right now and definitely feels like he's in the driver's seat for this year's MVP. Thunder back in action tonight against the Lakers, and hot off the presses from our very own Royce Young tweeted out during the break, Nerlens Noel available for tonight. So that is great to hear. Last time we saw Nerlens Noel, he took a bad, bad fall onto the wood floor there at Chesapeake Energy Arena. Lakers in town tonight. No LeBron James, but Nerlens Noel sounds like he will be a go. How do you feel about tonight, Marcus? This team's very tough to figure out as of late, but, I mean, I hate to say I'll be shocked if they lose to a Lakers team without LeBron James, but after what I watched in Atlanta, I don't know if anything's going to shock me at this point.
Well, they're going to be a lot better off with Nerlens Noel back. I mean, I don't think he's the difference, but they have absolutely no defense near the basket when he's off the floor and Steven Adams is off the floor, so that'll make a difference. I mean, look, they got something to prove after the last game. I mean, I think they would be challenged tonight, and I don't think the Lakers are very good without LeBron, so Thunder should win the game tonight. If they don't, if they continue to put bad effort after bad effort after bad effort out there, Billy Donovan is in trouble.
I mean, Thunder a 10.5-point favorite at home. Vegas expected a bounce back, but they were 9-point favorites the other night in Atlanta where they lost by double digits. So I think Oklahoma City bounces back. If LeBron was playing, I'd be a little bit more nervous. I don't think they overlooked the Lakers, given what we talked about, giving up 2 45-point quarters to the Hawks. If that doesn't get their attention, nothing will. Maybe I'll be wrong and I'll be foolish coming in tomorrow, but I expect a much better effort all around from Oklahoma City at home tonight.
I agree. Paul George got 50 against the Nets earlier this season. The Nets have surrendered a couple of 50s, half a 100.
I forgot about that. Paul George, he did. He did go off on the Nets. All right, here's what we're going to do. We got Jake Trotter coming up next segment. Jake was very busy yesterday breaking stories. We'll chat with him about all the ongoing around the Oklahoma football program, Big 12, you name it. We'll discuss that with Jake Trotter. What we would like to do is we will open it up right now. You've got about 10 minutes if you want to call and jump in with Mark and myself, 460-9957, 460-WWLS. Thunder back in action tonight. Obviously, we can go all things in the world of sports. But if you'd like to jump in with the Monsters, you got about a 10-minute window. Now's the time to do so, 460-9957. 460-WWLS. Mark, if I can, I would like to this sleeping at night with my daughter. This story continues to grow. So I've got a new element. If you would like to hear,
I would love to hear what's happened here recently.
Sleepless nights. That's okay. What's happened here recently.
You haven't retreated upstairs to the to friendlier quarters.
No, I haven't retreated upstairs. So basically it got to the point where, you know, I had said, she's just come to our room. Well, then after that, it happened a few nights, and my wife, Lacey's like, you know what, we can't do this. We got to go back. So then we tried to go back and leave her in her room, and then we're, like, laying on the floor next to her little crib, and it was just an epic disaster. And the only thing she wanted was to come into our bed. So my wife, her pitch to me the other day was if we just get a full-size bed, because the crib converts into a full-size bed. She's like, if we just get a full-size bed, then we can lay down with her, she can fall asleep, and then we can exit the room, you know, leaving her in her bedroom. And I was at first like, this is crazy, this is not going to work, you know, this is ridiculous. Then 2 nights ago, when I was laying there and my shoulder I thought was going to fall off after laying on the floor for so long, getting her to fall asleep, I was like, screw this. Get a bed. Okay? So yesterday, as soon as I got off work, I went and picked up a mattress, picked up the bunkie board, and my daughter now has a full-size bed. My 2-year-old daughter has a full-size bed in her room. So last night, she actually fell asleep in her room, and she didn't come to our bedroom, I think, until after 1. So initially, last night was a win, but I got to tell you, partner, I don't know where the heck this thing's going. This has been one of the biggest fiascos of my parenting life to date. So the saga continues with young Sloan and her unwillingness to sleep through the night.
Well, I think this is a positive development. I think you got to feel pretty good about it.
About what? That I've got a new bed that I can sleep in at night in my house? Yeah, it's perfect. Unfortunately, I don't know if it helps the actual bed that I want to sleep in, my own bed, with only my wife. I still think that is very much in question if that's ever going to happen again. Maybe once the kids are out of the house, possibly, that could happen. But as of right now, I don't know, man. We're just trying to make it through each and every day and each and every night. And I can just tell you, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. All right, let's get to the phones. We asked for them, and you have supplied us. Up first today with the Monsters of the Midday, let's go to Isaac. Isaac, what's up? You're off the Monsters. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
How much? How are you, man?
Doing good. A couple things on Jalen Hurts. Correct me if I'm wrong, but really I think what we're looking at is OU's long-term is Spencer Rattler, and they were looking to find an in-between guy. And in my opinion, they found a pretty good in-between guy with Jalen Hurts, correct?
I would say that's – I think that's similar to my read as well, yes.
The other thing was I've been hearing Jim a lot. He doesn't necessarily badmouth Hurts, but he keeps bringing up the fact that he lost or would have lost basically a national championship game if Tua wouldn't have stepped in. And that's fine. That's true. But you also got to look at, he won the SEC championship game, because if Tua would have finished that game and not gotten hurt, they would have lost to Georgia.
Yeah, I don't know what's said on other shows. I'm not sure. Thanks for the call, Isaac. I appreciate it. You know, yeah, they did have to bring in Tua last year against Georgia. I brought in Jalen this year to beat Georgia in the SEC title game. He did win an SEC championship as a freshman. And, you know, if you actually go back to his true freshman year when he won SEC Offensive Player of the Year, he had a huge run for a touchdown that gave him the lead, I believe, with under 3 minutes to go. But it was Deshaun Watson who ultimately led Clemson back down and trumped Jalen Hurts. So he had put his team in position to win a national championship as a true freshman. Deshaun Watson outdid him. And then last year, yes, they pulled the hook at halftime. Tua Tagovailoa came in, led them to a national championship. We know how it all unfolded this year. However you want to quantify it, the guy's experienced. He's won a lot of games. He's played on the biggest of stages, and he's had quite a bit of success. Different offense than what he's going to play in here in Oklahoma. But I would also say against much, much better defense. I can't wait to watch Big 12 defenses try to tackle Jalen Hurts, Mark. I mean, he's every bit of 6'2", 225, 230.
Right.
So good luck. You better strap it up, because could be a hot knife through butter trying to tackle that cat.
Well, I think that McElroy brought up that good point, is that you need to give your defense a little bit better chance than what Lincoln Riley's done at times in his career. I mean, just scoring points, if it's a race to 100 or a race to 50 or something like that, Lincoln Riley's going to win that almost every time, but his defenses have been tired at times. When they've had turnovers like they did in the Texas game, it got the other team out to a little bit of a lead. But to be able to possess the football and do some things like that with a running quarterback, that has a lot of weight to it in the Big 12, I think. A lot of weight
and,
to it. So, you guys right, though. And you also bring this up a lot. Pointed it out, which is a great point. The experience factor. A guy that's a winner and experience gets to teach the young guys, the young two guys that are there, what it's all about. So,
Oklahoma.
It's not a negative. I mean, no, it's not a negative. I don't know how anyone could say that it's a negative that they got him. I mean,
Oklahoma has been one of the best, I would say, top five programs in the country the last 4 or 5 years. But they are looking up to Alabama and what they've been able to do to get to the top of the mountain. The fact that you can bring not just a player but a quarterback who started for some of those teams into your program and, you know, learn from him or just be exposed to him or, you know, see the way he goes about his business, to me, that there's a lot of value on that, Mark. Like, you want to pick that guy's brain. You want that guy rubbing off on everybody in your locker room and within your organization, because he's been to where you want to get to, right? And to have that guy now in your locker room leading your football team, I don't know, to me, that's a big plus. Let's get to one more. Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, what's up? You're on with the Monsters. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Dusty. How you doing? Hey, I'm just interested exactly what happened with Austin Kendall. What basically made him decide to go?
As far as made him decide to transfer?
Yeah.
I think the fact that he wasn't going to be the starter this year. They didn't go get Jalen Hurts.
Who was actually competing with? Who was he competing with?
It was going to be Jalen Hurts. I mean, I think that when that rumor got out there, I'm sure that Austin Kendall knew that was
a
possibility.
They weren't bringing Jalen Hurts in to compete for a position. Bringing Jalen Hurts in to be the starting quarterback.
Jimmy, when he put his name into the transfer portal, that didn't mean he had to leave. He could have stayed in Oklahoma. So say that Jalen Hurts would have decided to go to Maryland, then I know the way things went down, I don't know if it would have happened this way. It may have gone the other way. But Austin Kendall could have returned to Oklahoma and played.
Okay. Yeah, I was just totally confused about that, because I thought it was definitely he was going to stay. Then all of a sudden, wow, at the last second, happened too.
Think about it from Austin Kendall's standpoint, Jimmy. He's set back and he's waited and he's been the backup to two Heisman Trophy winners. He was told by his coach last year that, you know, it was neck and neck all the way to the very end, and Kyler Murray just edged him out. And now they're going to tell him when he's finally waited 3 years that, oh, by the way, we're going to go bring in a senior quarterback. I think what Lincoln Riley did was right, but you got to look at it from Austin Kendall's standpoint. He's been sitting back waiting for his opportunity, and it kind of, I'm sure, to him felt like he was waiting an opportunity that was never going to be there.
Yeah, that's too bad, because I thought he was a pretty good player, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks well, hopefully calling, this first guy will do a good job.
Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy. Appreciate it. Let's sneak one more in before we go to Jake Trotter. Jake Trotter's going to have some great stuff on all this. He broke the story yesterday about Austin Kendall and potentially what Oklahoma was looking to do. Last one of the day for the phone calls, and I love the name. It's my son's name spelled different, but let's go to Jackson. Jackson, how you doing? You're on the Monsters.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good afternoon, first-time caller.
Johnny's Jackson.
Hey, did you guys see where the University of Texas, Shane Buchel, has put his name in the portal and Cameron Rising is leaving? You guys see that?
I had seen that.
We did.
Okay, so
Shane Buchel's name is in the portal.
Yeah, and Cameron Rising is leaving.
But he's not 100%, but yes, it has been speculated that he's going to be out.
Okay, so my question is that what are coaches supposed to do? Because no longer can you go after a top notch quarterback and go after one each year. You're going to have to kind of stagger it or every 3 years, because these guys are just going to turn around and leave. Once they don't get the job, once they don't start, they're going to turn around and leave. So it's going to be a constant turnover in recruiting.
It's called managing the roster. I mean, you better figure out how to make these guys happy, or you do have to stagger it a little bit. It's tough. I mean, he brought in two quarterbacks in the this class with Rising and Casey Thompson, so he's at least got the benefit of having a couple.
Mark's right. Roster management. I mean, this is just a new reality of part of being a head coach in big time college football. I mean, Jackson brings up a great point. But, I mean, we've been seeing this trend. And, you know, I think that's exactly why we saw, and, Mark, I believe you and I, we understood why Lincoln Riley said what he said, right, with Austin Kendall. Because he had to fear Austin Kendall transferring before the season started, right, and having a backup for Kyler Murray. So these guys are constantly having to massage these relationships and constantly, you know, be able to pat guys on the back and make them feel like they're in good standing, when the reality is, it may not be the case, but you have to put on that front because, like Mark said, you're constantly having to manage your roster, and you don't – I mean, again, it's tough, man. You have to sell a pretty picture to a lot of different people, and when people start to realize that pretty picture may not come to fruition, that's when it's going to become some difficult conversations. You might have kids wanting to potentially transfer. Mark, what's going on today?
No one –
yes.
No one did that better than the GOAT. No one did it better than the GOAT
Nick
this
Saban.
Season because he needed
Nick
it.
Saban.
And people were clamoring for him to name a starter, and it was this. Yep. I thought at the time, don't want to name a starter. I mean, you don't need to. This race is going right down to the end, and you're going to try to figure out how to make sure that Jalen Hurts knows he's a very valuable part of the team and all of that stuff. And man, he needed it. He needed it, and it got him into the national championship game. I'm at Galleria Furniture and Mattress Outlet, I-40 in Portland. Come shop here today. Get a king-size mattress for the price of a queen and get a free adjustable base valued at $999. 140 mattress styles to choose from. I-40 in Portland at the massive Galleria Furniture and Mattress Outlet.
I'm at the Buy for Gold Key Service Center right here, 5930 West Memorial Road, southwest corner of MacArthur and Memorial. We're off the Kilpatrick Turnpike next door to Hideaway Pizza. Nobody treats you better than Byford, not just a slogan. It's the way they operate their business. Great things going on right now at the Byford Gold Key Service Center. Excellent deal through the Sports Animal. Celebrate 2019 with a $20.19 oil change. That's oil change and filter. Also, every tire purchase comes with free road hazard warranty, free mount and balance. Also, you get a 25-point vehicle inspection. Just schedule an appointment before January 31st when this promotion expires. Take advantage right now at Byford Gold Key Service Center, where they service all makes and models. And if you can't get by here, try any of the 8 great locations throughout the great state of Oklahoma with the Byford Auto Group. When we get back, we'll talk with the Iron Man of the Sports Animal, Jake Trotter, next. I got to imagine yesterday was a little bit busy for you, my friend.
Yesterday was a busy day. I can confirm that.
Nice work. You had the initial story out. Walk us through, because a lot of people have been asking, but what you can tell us as far as initially the conversations between Austin Kendall and Oklahoma about him potentially transferring to West Virginia. We know how it ultimately, the end result, but earlier in the day, based off your reporting, it sounded as if Oklahoma was going to try to block him or at least make it more difficult for him to go to West Virginia without having to serve some kind of penalty.
Yeah, so, I mean, they weren't trying to block him. They were blocking him. They told him that if he transferred to West Virginia, they were going to prevent him from being eligible for the 2019 season, which meant that, yeah, he could still transfer to West Virginia, but he'd have to sit out next season and then wait for the 2020 year, which would be his last season of eligibility. You know, this all started last week when you started to hear rumors about Jalen Hurts, you know, possibly visiting Oklahoma. And then on Thursday, you know, Austin Kendall finally approached Lincoln Riley, said, you know, is this true? Are you guys recruiting, you know, Jalen Hurts? And, you know, Riley confirmed that they were and that Hurts was going to visit on Saturday. And that's when you saw the news of Kendall entering the transfer portal to kind of keep his options open in case Hurts did pick Oklahoma. The problem was for Kendall is the timing was not ideal because school for most universities started on Monday and you have like a week to enroll in order to participate in spring ball. So, you know, he basically had to scramble and try to find, you know, possible landing spots, which was not easy to do on the fly. And West Virginia, because of his relationship with Neil Brown, who recruited him out of high school while Brown was an assistant at Kentucky. Austin's brother, you know, went to Kentucky and, I think played for Neil briefly there. So they had a relationship, and obviously West Virginia needs a quarterback with Will Greer going to the NFL. That was not going to be a feasible or viable option for him because he wouldn't be able to play this year. And, you know, at that point, you know, West Virginia might have its starter, and it would probably be hard for Kendall to come back and win the job from an incumbent. So that's kind of where things stood as of Tuesday night. You know, Oklahoma was still saying, you know, we're going to block you from going there. And just to kind of clarify, I think people get confused with the transfer rules because there are a lot of new ones. And, you know, you can enter the transfer portal, which means you can talk to anybody. You don't have to ask for permission, and you can transfer anywhere you want to. But one of the remnants from the old transfer system is that even if you are a grad transfer, this school that you're at reserves the right to prevent you from being immediately eligible at your new school. So Alabama, for example, could prevent Jalen Hurts from being eligible at Oklahoma if it wanted to. Obviously, he's not going to do that. That's kind of where the situation was, you know, on you know, Wednesday morning when my story first came out.
Okay, Jake, when you say they, was that Lincoln Riley?
Yeah, I mean, I think Lincoln Riley, Joe Castiglione would be, you know, the people that make decisions at Oklahoma.
I thought Joe Castiglione, okay, if it was Joe Castiglione, that would surprise me, especially because he came out and kind of was the guy to break the news that it was. Secondly,
no, I mean, Joe Castiglione was, from my reporting, was involved initially in the decision to keep Kendall.
Did they not know? Because I came down pretty hard on him. I mean, this is a topic that I've talked about a lot on here over the years. Did they not recognize or realize the backlash that they would get by doing that? I'm glad that ultimately they got it right, but it seems with two guys that are so sharp and you would think have a better feeling for, you know, what the temperature in the room is going to be, they kind of whiffed on that initially.
Yeah, I mean, I before I reported, you know, before I published the story, I reached out to OU to see if they, you know, had any comment or, you know, response or anything they wanted to clarify, and there was nothing. So, you know, that's when the story ran. So, I mean, they had an opportunity to clarify anything if they wanted to. And really, you know, they were pretty silent throughout the day as the scene kind of caught fire. I mean, at one point, it seemed like it was almost overshadowing the Hurts news to some degree because, you know, it's hard to take the position of defending, you know, blocking a grad transfer from going somewhere while you're pursuing a grad transfer yourself, and the fact that you're pursuing that grad transfer is the reason why your quarterback wants to transfer somewhere else. Does that make sense?
There's no question about that. So what was the relationship like? I mean, you know, because I think that last week people would have thought, well, okay, if Jalen Hurts goes someplace else, then Austin Kendall might return to Oklahoma and be the starting quarterback. But it seemed to me that the relationship there was burnt significantly Hurts announced that.
Yeah, I think before, you know, Hurts had made his decision, Austin Kendall had decided that he was going to transfer regardless at that point because, you know, sometimes these relationships, they break down a little bit. I think that Austin and his family felt like they were kind of hanging in the wind you know, at the expense of Jalen Hurts' decision. So that's kind of where the situation was. And listen, I mean, it's like with Ohio State, you know, Tate Martell, they get Justin Fields, Tate Martell, he goes to Miami. I mean, it's possible that Justin Fields doesn't get eligible for this season, I guess. And then where does that put Ohio State? I mean, Oklahoma could have been in a similar situation if for some reason Jalen Hurts at the last minute backed out and decided, hey, I'm going to go play for Locksley at Maryland or something like that.
Well, excellent job reporting, Jake. Again, I know that was not easy to get that story, and definitely it gave us a lot to talk about yesterday on the radio station. I feel like I ask you this each and every day, but I don't want to stop yet on Austin Kendall. Can you confirm, is he definitely going to West Virginia, or is this going to turn out to be a moot point?
It would be funny if he's like, I changed my mind, I'm not going to West Virginia. I can report that he is in Morgantown right now. He's talking to West Virginia coaches and the administration, and I think there's an expectation that he will be enrolled there by the end of the day, if not tomorrow at the latest. It's not done yet. I know people were reporting, particularly on the West Virginia side, that it was done. It's not done, but I think at this point it would be surprising if for some reason he didn't end up at West Virginia. I think all the momentum is heading in that direction.
Can you also confirm that his nostrils are stung with the smell of moonshine?
He's gonna learn about pepperoni rolls if he goes there, which is not a bad thing to learn.
Okay. What's going on at Texas? Where do you think Shane Buechele is going to end up? And it looks like Casey Thompson may end up through all this being the number two guy in Austin next year.
Yeah, and I saw Casey, I guess he tweeted today that, like, he hadn't decided anything. We'll see. I mean, I think if I were him, I would probably stay. You know, Cam Rising looks like he's going to Utah, which I know Utah was interested in Austin Kendall as well. Buechele went into the portal officially at about 9 a.m. today. I think before that, SMU was probably the early favorite. They lost their quarterback, Ben Hicks, to Arkansas.
He stinks.
So they're looking for somebody. But, you know, once you go in the portal, you know, all these different schools can come in and get in the mix. So I would expect that Buechele, given his experience, and, you know, he's had some really good moments for Texas, despite being kind of a part-time starter throughout his career, I think he would have other opportunities as well, other than SMU.
Ben Hicks might be one of those Carmelo Anthony situations, addition by subtraction.
He's not any good. SMU's got a better quarterback as a freshman.
Yeah, I think Sonny Dykes will.
Sounds like you guys took some losses on the picks on the SMU this year.
No.
I saw him play. I went to the Tulsa SMU game and sit on the sidelines.
I
was down at SMU midseason, spoke to the football team, and let's just say I've got a decent handle on some of the personnel down there in Dallas. I'll ask you, because I'm going to ask you every day until someone's hired, because I know our Oklahoma State fans would like to know, any update whatsoever in Stillwater on an offensive coordinator, Jake? I'm sorry if I'm wearing you out with this question, but it is still
I checked. I can't even remember if it was yesterday or the day before, but I've checked in the last, you know, 36 hours, and there was no update. So I think we're just kind of status quo from what we discussed on Tuesday. So no update, and again, the caveat, Mike Gundy, you know, has been unpredictable at times with coordinator hires. You know, he could possibly go out and hire somebody we've never heard of. You know, I think, you know, Josh Henson, the offensive line coach, has gotten some interest from other schools, potentially being a coordinator. You know, we'll see. Maybe he can use that as leverage. But, you know, Casey Dunn is another option for them. Their longtime wide receivers coach, who's done a terrific job, you know, developing his position. So no update. And I mean, really, if we can get all these quarterbacks, you know, their destination spots, if we can get Oklahoma State to hire an offensive coordinator, and we can keep everybody where they are, you know, we can finally move on to the offseason. But it won't happen, guys. Nobody is cooperating.
That means, Mark, Jake can go on vacation. He's pleading for these people to just get their business
let's
in
go.
Order so
let's,
he can
let's
relax
make some
a little
decisions
bit.
Here.
I've got a question for you. I want you to rank these three events in order of the most stressful to the least stressful. I want you to rank NBA free agency, the transfer portal, and then coaching carousel. How would you rank those in terms of most stressful?
So this is what I would say. To me, the NBA offseason is almost, if not more, compelling than the NBA regular season, particularly when you have a team like Golden State where, you know, they're probably going to win the title year after year. I don't know if that's necessarily the case this year, but, you know, at least in the last 3 years, it's been, you know, sort of sealed before the season began. So the offseason in the NBA has always been compelling because you have all these wild trades out of nowhere. The coaching carousel is semi-interesting, but not like NBA free agency. But I will tell you, when you combine the college football coaching carousel with this new college football free agency, the college football offseason continues to get a little bit more interesting. And, you know, what makes the NBA offseason so compelling is, you know, LeBron James goes from the Cavs to the Lakers. It completely changes the landscape. The Thunder, you know, trade for Paul George. It completely changes, you know, Oklahoma City's outlook. Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma, that changes Oklahoma's outlook for next year. And when you have high-profile, you know, quarterback free agents, for lack of a better phrase, moving around, it makes it a lot more interesting. So I think the college football offseason, I think the trend going forward is that it is going to be more and more compelling because I don't think these quarterbacks are going to stop transferring. I think you're going to see more and more of a trend of players entering the transfer portal and looking at their options if they're not completely satisfied with their, you know, current situation.
If you ever get too stressed out, all you have to do is just go right down the street to Spinozzi's house, and he's got plenty of things there that will help you relax.
I can go hang out in his pool.
You can decompress. You can decompress.
That's a great place to decompress.
Yep.
Hey,
good job, man.
Excellent job, Jake. Give it up to you, big
Thanks,
time.
Guys.
And then last thing, though, kind of right on your last point, and I've been asked this already on Sirius Radio. I asked Greg McElroy earlier when we had him on. Now that we know kind of what this Oklahoma roster is going to look like, is Oklahoma the favorite in the Big 12? I said on Sirius Radio this morning that, yes, with Alex Grinch and now Jalen Hurts, I still put them as the leader in the clubhouse to win the Big 12 yet a fifth straight time. What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, I said the same thing on Feinbaum yesterday. If you'd asked me last week, I probably said it on the radio, maybe to you guys, Texas was going to be my pick at that moment to win the Big 12. I have swung back to Oklahoma. That's how much of a difference maker I think Jalen Hurts is. Now, I don't think they're the head and shoulders clear-cut favorite like they have been in recent seasons with Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. But to me, you put Jalen Hurts on an offense that's going to have CeeDee Lamb, that's going to have Grant Calcaterra, that's going to have Creed Humphrey, three guys that could all be preseason All-Americans going into next year. To me, given the track record that Oklahoma has had and the fact that I think they'll be a little bit better defensively, to me, makes them the favorite, even though Texas is going to be an absolute load next year.
Great stuff as always. Jake Trotter, the Iron Man of the sports animal. Thanks, man.
Okay, no problem. One thing, I'm going to be filling in for Jim tomorrow. We're going to have Chris Kleiman, the new head coach at Kansas State, on the air. So that'll be fun.
Very nice. Good. Well done. What time is that going to be?
We're going to have Kleiman on at 2:25, and then awesome. In the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to have Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports and The Athletic to talk more about all this drama.
Fantastic. Look at you getting a big-time guest. Nice work, Jake. We'll look forward to that tomorrow. The Iron Man of the sports animal. He's bringing A-list guests. Chris Kleiman tomorrow, new Kansas State head coach. Bruce Feldman's always fantastic to listen to. That'll be some good radio tomorrow with Jake Trotter after 2 o'clock. I'm here today at the Byford Gold Key Service Center, 5930 West Memorial Road, southwest corner of MacArthur and Memorial, here off the Kilpatrick Turnpike. Great promotion going right now, $20.19 for an oil change and filter. That's how we're going to celebrate 2019. This offer is good through the end of January. Call now and get registered, 405-603-4545. It's all here at Byford Gold Key Service Center here in Oklahoma City. Mark Rod, Galleria Furniture. Marcus, tell me.
You nailed it, Dusty. Galleria Furniture and Mattress Outlet, I-40 in Portland. Largest mattress selection in America. King-size mattress for the price of a queen and an adjustable base starting at get that thrown in for a value of a $1,000 extra value-added dollar. So come by and see us today here at Galleria Furniture, I-40 in Portland.
Quite simple this weekend. It's Championship Sunday. A trip to the Super Bowl is at stake for everybody. For the Patriots, for the Chiefs fans dying to get to the Super Bowl. Also for the New Orleans Saints, as well as the L.A. Rams. That's what's at stake coming up this weekend, Mark. But I would say what's at stake tonight, a little bit of self-respect, Mark, and trying to figure out where this season's going to go. I don't care. There may have been worse teams that they've lost to, but I would say the other night against the Atlanta Hawks was a low point of the season for me so far. Two 45-point quarters. Don't know if I've ever seen that in an NBA game. Definitely not a game watching the Oklahoma City Thunder. They've lost four of their last five. No LeBron James tonight. I would say self-worth, pride, that's at stake tonight. Because if Oklahoma City comes out there as ambivalent defensively as they were the other night, I don't know if they have any self-pride whatsoever. So that's what's on the line for me tonight. What's this team all about? What are they made of?
Yeah, they better get after it tonight. I don't think they have to. I mean, this is probably the way they're thinking too, is that we don't have to play that great to win. But they got to ratchet up the intensity. This team has to do that. Okay, so you said, we talked about the Chiefs, the Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have some of the best fans in sports.
Great fans.
But, I mean, the best fans in sports. The Chiefs haven't been to a Super Bowl in 45 years.
Wow.
I think that's right, correct? It's maybe longer than that. It's been a long time. What's Super Bowl III?
It's been a long time.
No, not Super Bowl III. One of the first four or five Super Bowls.
They're in the first one. They lost the first Super Bowl. I believe I see here is 1970.
Okay,
last
so it's
time the
48
played
years.
The Super Bowl. January 11th of 1970, the last time they played in the Super Bowl.
They still fill that stadium up there. I mean, and are extremely passionate. They made it one of the tough home field advantages. Now, they've been pretty good, but not great. I mean, I don't think they've been to that many AFC championship games.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not.
Not
I'm
many.
Not sure. I'm not sure
we'll
what
get a number
lineage
on that.
Of Kansas City Chief football
it's not
is
outstanding.
In that
it's just not that good. A lot of playoff disappointment littered in there, scattered around. So this is a big, 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 big Sunday for them.
Yes, it is. And you know what? It's going to be, I have heard they say, single digits, degrees, and with the wind chill, it's going to be in the negatives. That's not going to deter Chiefs fans in the least, in my opinion, Mark. They will be loud and proud in Kansas City. So here's what I have. The last time that the Kansas City Chiefs, they beat the Minnesota Vikings in Super Bowl IV, 23-7, down in the Big Easy, down in NOLA. So Chiefs fans, they would love to get back to the Super Bowl. And it won't be in NOLA. It'll be in Atlanta. But I would imagine if the Chiefs get there, their faithful will show up in the ATL loud and proud.
I think so. You're right. Well, I mean, couldn't ask for better games.
Nope. I'm tomorrow make our picks. We got Todd Furman. I'm still leaning towards the home teams, Mark. But I'm going to tell you, call me crazy, but there's a little bit of that underdog mentality that kind of makes me a little bit nervous if I'm a Chiefs fan, Mark.
I'm not nervous. I think the Chiefs are going to win. Andy Reid can't play the game with two hands wrapped around his neck. I mean, he's got to get out there and get after it.
Here's the, and I was just so impressed with how poised Patrick Mahomes was in his first playoff game. Like, I thought maybe the moment will be too big. It's so cold. Didn't matter, dude. I mean, slice and dice. Same thing we've seen all year. And the thing about him, Mark, that is so difficult, and this is why ultimately I think I'm going to pick the Chiefs, is because how do you defend him? I mean, the numbers are staggering if you bring pressure on what he does to defenses. And the numbers are staggering if you don't bring pressure and you allow him to throw from within the pocket what he can do to you. Like, I mean, it's kind of you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, Mark. Like, you always want to bring pressure on a quarterback, but he's got an outstanding ability to evade the rush, keep the play alive, and then find guys if they're in one-on-one matchups down the field. So, I mean, I don't know exactly what the game plan for Bill Belichick's going to be, but I just don't quite know exactly how you mentally and physically mess with Patrick Mahomes enough to get him off his game. Just haven't seen anybody do it yet this year. Nobody.
Yeah, I don't know either. But you can guarantee the Patriots probably have some kind of scheme that makes it interesting. I mean, I think they're gonna they'll make him work. I mean, they'll have enough wrinkles in there to try it. I mean, is it disguising coverages? I mean, things like that. That's tougher to do in the NFL than it is in college.
You can still disguise, and they'll try to disguise. But I mean, just on a base level, if you just want to be do you pressure him? Do you play coverage? Do you pressure him? Do you play coverage? And he's shown that. There's really no right way to defend him, I guess what I'm saying. He's shown the ability to shred whatever you put in front of him.
I would challenge my players. I mean, again, I think you can, like, say, for example, if you take away Travis Kelce and you just say, okay, that's the one thing we're going to do, and Bill Belichick's known for this, we're going to take away Travis Kelce, and we're going to challenge our guys up front. You've got to stop. This is a running game that is not what it used to be when they had Kareem Hunt. So you guys stop this running game. We're going to gamble a little bit that they don't just gash us and run right down the field on us, and we're going to take away Kelce and then see what we can do with the other guys.
But let me ask you this, and I know we're up against it, and this will be a great conversation for tomorrow, but are you more worried about Travis Kelce, or are you more worried about Tyreek Hill, maybe the most explosive player in the National Football League? I mean, you dedicate too many hats to Travis Kelce, then you're dealing one-on-one matchup with Tyreek Hill, which the Kansas City Chiefs love.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that means it's they got weapons, man. And then we didn't even mention Sammy Watkins, who's healthy and he's back, and he played a big role a week ago in the Chiefs' victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Championship weekend just around the corner. We're going to have Todd Furman tomorrow. We're going to have Jeff Schwartz on talking NFL, whose brother is an offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. And we're also going to make our picks tomorrow on who will be playing in the Super Bowl this season. You don't want to miss tomorrow's show. It will be action-packed and a lot of fun on a Friday to close up what's been a great week. Here at Byford Gold Key Service Center today, big thanks to them. Call them 405-603-4545. 5930 West Memorial Road is the location here off the southwest corner. MacArthur and Memorial, great promotion right now to start 2019. $20.19 oil change, gets you an oil change and a filter. Also, every tire purchase comes with free road hazard warranty and free mountain balance. Also, a free 25-point vehicle inspection. Make your appointment before January 31st to take advantage of this great promotion going on right now at the Byford Gold Key Service Center. Mark has been at Galleria Furniture. Marcus.
Huge mattress sale going on here. Over 140 different styles of mattresses. You buy a king-size mattress for a queen-size price. They're going to give you a $1,000 base for free. So stop in and see us. I-40 in Portland at Galleria Furniture. We'll be back here next Tuesday as well. So make it a plan to come up and see us. Say hello when the sports animal is in the house.